The last week or 10 days have been a strange mixture of contrast for me. The week began, as you know, with the death of my mother. With her death came a flood of memories and a real appreciation for who she was and how much she gave me. But it was later on in the week, and I was over at Frederick Hospital after a visit. And as I came out of the hospital there at the entryway, I saw two couples taking home their brand new babies. Now, as most of you know, I'm nuts for babies. And so I stood back and I watched from a distance these little innocent bundles of life, so vulnerable, so precious, so helpless, being cared for by their new parents. Death and new life. Grief and thanksgiving. Celebration and sorrow, comings and goings, welcoming home and sending forth, endings and beginnings. It was a week of contrasts, as just about every week is in our lives. If you're willing to live with open hearts and an awareness of change, which is all part of simply being human. Well, our gospel text reminds me a little bit of our week. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Where I am going, you cannot come. A little while and you will no longer see me. And again, in a little while, you will see me again. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now the context of these statements are those of departure and oddly of arrival. So appropriate in the days before Jesus' death, which is when this story is placed in John's Gospel. I mean, this is how Jesus is portrayed in John's Gospel, sort of an on-again, off-again God, leaving his disciples all kinds of hints about what life will be like. But there's also an elusive, a mysterious quality in the language used to describe Jesus' presence. It comes into sharp focus only to disappear again into strange kinds of exaggeration and poetic mystery. For those of us who require a sure faith that we can pin down and know it's always going to be this way, this particular text is not very helpful. But a key point of this text is, if we follow Jesus down the road, it's not going to be an easy or clear or exact life. In fact, it'll be a life filled with questions and mystery and a whole different kind of peace. Not as the world gives is the promise of this text. One of the great gifts, I think, of the Christian life is the open-ended mystery contained in it rather than the certainty. But many of us who embrace Christianity would hold certainty dearer than truth. It's not only the fundamentalists, but also those who need to know exactly who Jesus was and what he did and how he fits into the scheme of this life. For them, truth is not the way to live and believe, but a particular description of belief. This is the true Jesus. This is the correct understanding of God. This is what it means for life. The fear behind certainty is the fear of confusion, when the greater danger is too much precision. Now, the gospel writer of John would have us embrace this deep mystery contained in the life of Jesus, and what that life would mean for us. When we read this story, we're reminded that Jesus defies all categories. Christ is beyond our Christologies. Jesus really lives outside of the dogmas of neat, orderly religious minds. Christ, as Christ exists in the world, insists on being free. And so we have this strange language of John 14. In a little while you won't see me, then you'll see me again. My peace I leave you, but not as the world gives do I give peace. Because I live, you will live also. You see, the gospel writer is using language which is intentionally vague and inconclusive, as if to remind us that the truth of Jesus' life leads us farther out than we would choose to go, were we given the choice. You see, if we cage Jesus and try to make him fit into our own understanding, we imprison him and may also imprison ourselves in a dull faith. If we make Jesus fit into a particular category or even try to distance him from our hearts, we run the risk of pigeonholing our own faith journey and finding ourselves coming to a screeching halt. But oddly enough, this text offers us clarity for the journey rather than certainty. If we get on the journey of faith, we know it will be a thrilling, wild ride into grace and mystery and the search for meaning and love, rather than merely some sort of reconfirmation of what others have already found. We can discover our faith not by being intellectually dogmatic, but by embracing the vast spirit of the living God that's so evident in the life of Christ. The promise and the hope comes as we embrace the mystery. Peace will be given, but not the peace of the world. But a different sort of peace will come as we move on our journey of faith. For you see, the peace of this world is the peace of escape. The kind of peace that comes from the avoidance of trouble or the resolution of conflict. But the peace that Jesus offers is the peace which presides in the presence of hope. No experience of this life can take that kind of peace from us. Not sorrow or fear or danger or even profound human suffering. The presence of peace for those who would embrace the life of Christ is independent of the outward circumstances of life. The presence of peace in our living comes in the form of hope beyond our rational thought. Peace which is not of this world comes when we learn to hope beyond what we know is possible. I see it every day. Hope which isn't of this world, but is a true gift of God. I see it in the faces of those who suffer with debilitating illnesses. And yet they manage to get up and get dressed and move into the world without any hesitation or fear. Cancer and Parkinson's and AIDS and cystic fibrosis and heart disease, all illnesses that could stop us, make us feel that life is too scary to live. But you keep on hoping in life anyway. I see hope in the hands of those who reach out to feed the hungry. I see hope in those who work on the streets with the heroin addicts and change bedpans in a hospice and pray with prisoners on death row. I know hope in the face of a newborn and the dying breath of a man in a hospital bed surrounded by his children and those who love him. Peace is the presence of hope in the midst of life and death. It is a little crazy to hope this way. But this is not the kind of peace which the world can give. This is a peculiar peace which comes when one embraces the whole journey, the whole faith life of Christ. You see, Jesus was one who understood the mystery of life amidst the presence of death. He dared to hope for a world and for those who were around him. And even in struggle, even in sorrow and great suffering, he knew that God loved him. He knew that he was a child of God. This is the peace of God's gift to us in the life of Jesus. This is the peace that passes all our understanding and puts us on that seeker's journey. In a week of great contrasts, death and birth, in all of life, we hear these words: "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. Let it be so." Amen.